What made you decide to jump in the ring and run for Keokuk mayor again?
Well, as you indicated, I have run for mayor once before. In fact, I contested with Tom when he was originally elected. There were several candidates, and there was a runoff, and he and I were in the runoff, and Tom won that contest. And since then, I have decided not to run simply because it's very difficult to beat an incumbent. This time, yes, Tom is an incumbent, but the events that led up to my entering the race were that I stopped in the city office 2 days before filing deadline just to see who was running for what offices and discovered that there was nobody running against Tom for mayor. I thought for just a moment, because my life is busy without this campaign, and I said, this can't happen. In a town of 10,000 people, there must be at least two people who care enough about the community to run for the top administrative spot, top civic service spot. So I took papers out at that moment, and within by Thursday morning, I had gathered 100 signatures and I'd driven my papers up to the auditor's office. Of course, I have a long-term relationship with Keokuk, born and raised, moved away, moved back, and have been back with my wife for the last 25 years. I have served on numerous boards, committees, all not-for-profits. I've served on city commission. So my concern for the city continues. And that's the real basis for running for mayor this time. I hope that and encouraged that the activity around the race has started to pick up because early on it was very, very slight.
What do you see as the biggest challenge facing Keokuk? And as mayor, how would you address it?
I have been doing some informal group forums, and I talk to those folks and say, here's what we've got. We've got chronic issues and we've got acute issues. The chronic issues will always be there. We'll always be working on roads. We'll always be working on dilapidated buildings. We'll always be working on trying to attract new businesses. We'll always be working on trying to create jobs because if you don't do those things, you surely will die. So those issues are always going to be there. What I have heard as I've been going around the city is that people are wanting a change. And when I ask, what do you mean by a change? They don't perceive that much action has happened in the recent past. And they also perceive that the community is slowly but surely eroding, and they want to see something different happen to change. It's curious. I was doing my research and preparing to run after I made the decision, and I came across a half-page ad that I put in the Daily Gate City 6 years ago. And on that ad, I'll be glad to send it to you if you like, I pretty specifically outlined the issues that I felt were primary for Keokuk. And with the exception of one, those are still prevalent issues. I think that that's what people mean when they say we want to see something different. We want to see a change. The one issue that is gone just got gone because we hired a city administrator. 6 years ago, I was the only candidate that thought that was a good idea. And all of a sudden now, 6 years later, city administrator is the next savior of the city. I don't want to sound like I'm not in favor of a city administrator because I certainly am. And I am certain that the people that chose the current candidate are very good. They made good selection. I've seen the credentials for the gentleman, and I'm sure he is well-skilled, well-trained, and experienced. So I'm looking forward to working with the new city administrator as the mayor. Now, as far as what will I do differently, there's two things that I have been adding to my 2009 list. One is increased communication between city staff and the community. The second is a little bit more nebulous, maybe, but I have termed the past few years what I have seen being around Keokuk and operating in Keokuk and being the director of the Chamber of Commerce for the time I was there. I term the attitude that I I see the community as developing a kind of inferiority complex. By that, I mean that people look at the communities around us and you hear them say, look what Burlington has. Look what Quincy's doing. Look what Cahokia's doing. Look what even Warsaw is doing. Geez, we just can't do that. And so new ideas are met with, we're just not as good as them. And that creates a kind of a feeling about the community that we don't even try. And that, of course, is a short run to complete apathy where nothing is done. And so I'd like to combat that with some projects that will encourage and draw in different segments of the community, including the youth, which is another chronic issue that we've had for 10, 15 years and will continue to have. How do we create new talent? How do we prepare new experienced people to take on the roles as those that have had them move out of the picture? So that's one technique. Other techniques are to target specific kinds of group things that might, perhaps, you know, there's communities all over the country that do community weight loss kinds of things. Now, that sounds silly to some people, but it's building community trust, it's building community togetherness, it's building common goals for the community, those kinds of projects, and others that I'm sure will come to me or people will suggest to me. So that's one technique to combat inferiority complex, and also a method through which good communication will enlist people to be involved in those projects. So kind of mix those two together.
Kind of, you mentioned it, is it more entertainment opportunities to get people here, or is it more kind of quality of life issues where it's not like, well, we're having this event on a Sunday and then you have people, but we're going to offer this as a quality of life issue that's going to be around here that you can see. What, when it comes to kind of keeping people active and keeping people involved, what does that entail?
I see both of those as quality of life issues. Entertainment issues are quality of life issues. And the term quality of life is a good one to put on the things that I'm trying to get done, because that is what I'm trying to improve. Quality of life, and then perception of self in terms of the community. That entails, of course, input from the community through enhanced input and access to information channels that I'd like to install. And it includes then getting the right audience to the right place at the right time so that they can take responsibility for that movement. And everything doesn't have to be done or managed or driven by a city staff person, because we just don't have that many city staff. That's what it would entail. It would entail charging people up. It would entail reminding people that you live in Keokuk and telling them of all of the good things that we have, that Burlington doesn't have, that Quincy doesn't have, that even Warsaw doesn't have. And we have those kinds of things.
You mentioned it early on, the hiring of the city administrator. The council is talking about changing the role of the mayor because this person is going to be in the job. What do you see as the role of the mayor? If you were elected, how would you describe your job to the citizens of Keokuk?
First of all, I'd make sure that people knew that the mayor's job is going to be halftime, because it's pretty apparent that you don't hire a city administrator and then pay two full-time administrators to run the city. So the mayor's job would be halftime. The city administrator's job is, the key phrase is administer. City administrator will be the administrative head of the city. If you like, the COO, chief operating officer. And then in the same vein, but not the way it is in business, the mayor would be the CEO, chief executive officer. As I understand the job description for the city administrator, they'll be in charge of finance, personnel, payroll, union negotiations, and other administrative functions, licensing, fees, that are typical administrative functions that city staff currently do now. The piece that's carved out for the mayor is to be the representative of the city, is to be the face of the city, to encourage and direct economic development movement through the city, and to try to help identify with the council the policy issues that are important for the city. That's not to say that the mayor won't have some input on the administrative functions, and not to say that the city administrator won't have input on the policy functions, because I know that will happen. But that's a pretty succinct and easy way to describe how you disseminate the various duties that are currently being done by the mayor and the finance director. So they're splitting that out and taking some salaries, mixing some salaries and some, I understand, some one-time funds to fund the city administrator job. I'm glad to see a city administrator. I think it's the right place to be. We have a professional in our police department. We have a professional in our fire department. We have a professional in our finance office. It just makes sense to me that in today's complex civic arena, in a very litigious society, that we have a professional public administrator helping us run our city.
One of the things that the mayor is doing now and is expected to do is being involved in economic development. You have an extensive background in economic development in this area. How would you pursue economic development if you were in the mayor's office?
I have said for some time that I would rather see 10-50 job companies come to Keokuk than one 500 job company. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but my reasoning is twofold. One is we are apt in our current situation, with our current feeling about our community, with our current budget situation, to be able to attract smaller organizations. And secondly, large deals such as, and this is a way out there, the fertilizer deal up by Burlington. I mean, that's a massive thing, $4 billion or some kind of, that's just construction. They're not even bringing in raw materials yet. They are extremely more complex. They take an extremely long time to pay off, and they exact a high price from the communities in which they enter. What's the price? Incentives. You give up tax opportunities. Now, it's not that you won't have some incentives for smaller industries, but the incentives will be smaller, they'll be more short-lived, and they'll be able to be better managed than a huge incentive like $40 million or the same cost that we have for the sewer separation project. Those are just massive amounts of dollars. I just think that those two factors, attracting smaller industry would be, and not just industry, but business, service business industry. We have some very successful service industries in town, would be a better strategy for us than going after a huge. Now, if a 500 job person came in tomorrow and stopped at my house and knocked on my door and said, can we locate here? I'd say, you can go in my front yard if you want. We need the jobs and we need the income. But I also would do that knowing that it's a 5-year down the road. It's millions of dollars worth of tax incentives. It's problems with the streets. It's problems with the neighbors who don't want that my neighbor doesn't want that industry in his next door. So it becomes a very complex ball of issues that I think with smaller industries would still have some issues, but they'd be manageable.
Is the city prepared for if you're recruiting the smaller industries? Is the city ready for that in terms of does it need infrastructure? I mean, kind of what would be your, how do you pitch that to these companies? If there's a company that's got fit, says, hey, I'm interested in Keokuk. What is the pitch to a company like that?
When I was executive director of the chamber, I also served as director for the Keokuk Economic Development Corporation as a portion of my job. Through my employment as an Iowa State professional employee also, it's kind of a crazy deal, but it worked. And I do know that there have been improvements at Kindestry Park, and they are conscious of two things. One is that the park has a limit. There's the size limit for the size of an industry that it can entertain because of just space limitations and some utility limitations, water and electricity and those kind of things, but they are there. And so there are opportunities for smaller industries to come into Kindestry Park, have a place that they can build a small manufacturing or service business building and be sure that they have the right kinds of services that they need. I also know that in the past four years, they have been looking all over Southeast Iowa for, I will call them, super sites, which are huge tracts of land that are can be optionable by an industry coming in that will service a 500 job. And so the answer, as far as I know, having been out of the loop now on those kinds of things for the past two and a half years, as far as I know, preparations are still underway to keep those two kinds of opportunities open. Will we have to do some things for services for any industry that comes? Yes, because they're all unique. Some need more loadout doors than others. Some need a little more water than we can get them. Some need a quicker access to a railhead. Some need a quicker access to a four-lane highway. I mean, my wife and I were just in Des Moines yesterday. I had a meeting as the local representative to the state board for AARP. And on our way out of town, of course, we ran across one of the huge blades coming from Siemens. Now, Siemens, if you've never been by one of those things, they are absolutely huge. And they turned on to the two-lane highway going to the Avenue of the Saints right in front of us. And, you know, the first thought you have is, oh, my God, this is going to take forever. Because it's very difficult to pass those and the two cars that are behind them that are in front of you. So that's an infrastructure thing, and I'm sure that they would like to see a four-lane highway all the way to the Avenue of the Saints. But those kind of changes will have to be dealt with as the industries come into town.
You mentioned infrastructure. Obviously, the federal government has told Keokuk you have to separate its sewer. That's something that has to be done. There's talk of trying to extend that to get more years, maybe freeing up some money for roads. There's some talk of maybe another 12-year, $12 million street project. Do you think... Is that a project Keokuk should look at? If it gets the more time to do a sewer project, should it put millions more into the roads, or would it be better served in other infrastructure in the city?
I'm not as familiar with the infrastructure issues other than the roads as I have been with the roads, because my home was involved in the long Grand Avenue project. But I also drive the roads in town. And yes, I would definitely channel some monies that would come from an extension of the sewer project to the streets. I am aware that, and I think it's still true, but they've had to kind of slow down on it. There is a plan for street repair. Which streets, when, what order, what will they look like, that kind of thing. And that's something we continue to need to follow. We need to plan that kind of thing. So yes, I would put some money if we were relieved of some of that responsibility, or it was elongated and we had some of that cash and we could manage bonds and those kinds of things. Yes, definitely put it on streets. We need streets for as an economic development purpose. We need streets for safety purposes. We need streets for quality of life purposes. We need streets for drawing tourists. As I said, I live on a street that a lot of people walk down when they come into town. That's where they go. And I've talked to many of them, and every time I talk with them, they say, this is a friendly community. And if we can continue to ride the horse of our friendliness into one of the projects I mentioned earlier, let's make Keokuk the friendliest town in the state or something like that. Yes, some of the sewer separation dollars, if we got them back, would definitely go towards streets. I would use them, part of them, and I'm sure that this would be in the plans, because this is one of those chronic problems I talked about earlier. They're always going to be with us, to demolish some of the buildings that just need to come down, again, for economic development reasons, for safety reasons, for quality of life reasons, and for appearance and environmental reasons. So, yeah, those two things would be high on the list.
Kind of tying off of that, looking at a couple of current issues that have been before the city council. One of them involves streets, and A Street in particular, 2nd and Fulton Street. There's been a debate, does the city fix the street even though the hillside is needing to be stabilized also? what from what you understand of the issue, kind of where do you stand on what to do with that street?
In my investigations, I've read the newspapers. I've watched a couple of city council meetings where it was discussed. I see that the council is saying, can't we do something? And the mayor is saying there's nothing we can do. The mayor has a legal basis for his argument for, you know, who owns the thing? Is it our responsibility or their responsibility? I'm not sure that that kind of discussion is productive. I think a better discussion is let's take a hard look at it and see what we would be able to do. Is there a unique solution to this? Is there a way that partnering with whoever owns the hillside, and I may probably have investigated the railroad, they probably investigated the power company, that I don't know about. But I do feel that if possible, that street should be saved. It should be built back up. The view from that particular turn is amazing. And again, it's, are we proud of Keokuk? Is that one of the things that we show to the people that are visiting us? Can we make an overlook there where cars would stop and look over the powerhouse and look over the river and look both ways and get a panorama of the river? So if possible, I would like to explore all, as mayor, I would like to explore all the opportunities that we have. And if it's just not possible, if we can't convince partners to go, the owners, owning partners to go with us, if we can't find enough funding to do the job right, then the decision would probably have to be made that we just can't do it. But not doing that means that we have to do something else because that hillside is still going to be falling into the river. So where do you put your dollars? Do you put it in preventative or do you put it back in reconstructive? In a reconstructive mode, we'll have to do something with the hillside. I don't know what, and I'm sure that there are smarter people than I, engineering-wise, that could tell me what are your options, but we'd have to do something.
Another issue the council has been discussing is the idea was brought forward to have a dog park. There was talk of Riverview Park. There's talk of Reese Park. It seems like people want a dog park. They just don't know where they want it at. Kind of where do you fall in on this?
Well, full disclosure, my wife was excited about the dog park, and she took on that project. She took on the investigation of sites. She took on the investigation of rules. She took on the investigation of other dog sites. I've been to dog sites with her to look at them and see what they are. I felt that we had the perfect site at Riverview Park. It was an open corner, able to be easily fenced, with trees and a small shelter house. The dog parks that we have visited, including Burlington, Ottumwa, Des Moines, all have those accoutrements that both service the dogs and the people that bring the dogs. I feel that a small group of citizens were able to back city council down from the site that we had selected. And when I'm talking small, I'm talking a small group of citizens in face of the many citizens with which my wife had worked to get the dog park to town. The vitriolic nature of some of the comments online regarding the dog park just forced my wife to say, I'm done. I'm not going to do any more. And then recently in the paper, it was reported that the city is going to take on that project. I haven't heard anything else since then, and I'm wondering about the project. I think there is a level of ignorance about dog parks, not stupidity. I'm not calling anybody stupid. I'm just saying that they don't know enough. The smell of a dog park is completely, blown out of proportion. The number of dogs that are going to be there at one time, completely blown out of proportion. Bear spots that dogs are going to create because of the things that they do at the dog park is blown completely out of proportion. Cost is an element, but my wife and the people that were associated with it were willing to go the mile to raise the money. I just feel that it would be an excellent addition to the community at the Riverview Park, and I think the neighbors would find that it would be a pleasant setting rather than the thing that is being imagined in their mind. I hope that it's reconsidered, and I hope that site is reconsidered.
Probably a final question. There's been some talk, and it's happened over the years every so often, someone will talk about is there too many members on the Keokuk City Council? Issues sometimes get bogged down. It takes a long time to decide issues. Some have said, is there too many people? Is that what's doing it? Do you think there needs to be a change in the number of city council members, or is it more along the lines of just making sure that the meetings are proceeding so that there's not that bogging down that you see when issues are discussed week after week after week?
Part of the argument is that the population has decreased, and do we need as many council members as we used to? And that's an administrative issue about deciding where population is that we would have to look at before we did anything like that. Maybe we have too many council members. Maybe. It could be that we find out when our distribution of population that the number we have is just right because of good coverage of it. I have long been at a wonder on the lines of the wards in Keokuk, the one that goes down the river on one side of Grand Avenue and another on the other side of Grand Avenue. That's a wonder to me. So maybe it's time to rethink all of those things. And if we go to the effort of, if we go to the step of having fewer council members, we're going to have to select the count. We're going to have to select the wards again. And that would be an opportunity to redistribute that kind of thing. That's a big job, and it will take some time. The other part of your question was timing and how long it takes issues to go. I have a friend who keeps saying, my gosh, it's going to take them a year to decide whether we can eat outside on the sidewalk or not, which is not a huge issue. I understand there are health issues and safety issues. But to continue to discuss it week after week after week and actually go and visit the sites and sit outside at a table and eat at the table, those are all good steps. But yeah, let's get going. Let's have an action-oriented council. Let's not have a discussion-oriented council. I would like to see, as I said, increased communication with council members. And we have the technology to do it now. They all have a pad, the tablet. They all have an email address. So you, as a citizen, can get the email of your city councilman and email them as often as you like. And so that kind of communication could spur greater action. And that's something else that I would try to take on as mayor. Let's increase our technological capability to communicate both ways.
Any other issues I haven't thought to touch on that are top of the mind for you?
Well, as an extension of the comment I made earlier regarding an inferiority complex and apathy, I am truly sorry and disappointed that we didn't have more candidates for mayor. I'm truly sorry and disappointed that we don't have contested contests in each of our council wards. That's an issue for me. All citizens, no matter who they are and at what level they're addressing their concerns, need options. At the national level, the Democratic and Republican parties are currently sifting their options. One party seems to be having better luck than the other party, and we won't name names, but they're going through that process, and they both have numerous people who want perhaps the hardest job in the world. Comparing that to the mayor of Keokuk, yes, it's difficult. Yes, you will have to learn new things. Yes, you will have to pay better attention. Yes, you will have to spend more time. But the reward for that is a higher quality of life, a stronger economic situation, a better attitude in the community that you can have an impact on if you're in public office. Another friend of mine says, if you don't vote, don't complain. So I'd like to see more people involved in contests for city government positions. I'd like to see more people getting out to vote, to make sure that the people that they think are the best choice for Keokuk are in there. Now, that's another chronic kind of issue, but that doesn't mean we stop working on it.